This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. You may not know it, but there is a class action lawsuit pending against the NCAA, the organization that oversees all collegiate sports in the United States, which makes money hand over fist from, quote, student athletes. I put that in quotes because these are essentially athletes who are making a huge amount of money for their schools and for the NCAA and for the TV networks and radio networks around the country that carry their games, but get no compensation other than, okay, you can come to class here and okay, you can live in a dorm there. But if you take any money from anybody under any circumstances, then you're not, quote, an amateur, unquote, and the NCAA cracks down on them and their schools. We've heard the stories time and time again. Well, at least one student athlete has decided to fight back against the NCAA for that exploitation, and there are many others who are going to be part of this class action lawsuit. Here to explain what's going on here is a guy who's been writing about it and covering it for the Birmingham News, Enterprise sports reporter John Solomon. John, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me where this case began.
Well, it began back in 2009 with Ed O'Bannon, who's a former great UCLA basketball player, noticing that in video games, EA Sports video games, his image, and likeness were being used, on an old UCLA team, and he kind of wondered, okay, I never got paid for that. Why did I never get any money from it? And so he and some other former players sort of spread throughout the country started this class action lawsuit against the NCAA, also against EA Sports, and against Collegiate Licensing Company, which is the biggest licensing arm in college athletics. And they basically were suing over improper use of their name, image, and likeness for commercial revenue.
I just want to stop you for just a second here, John. Collegiate Licensing Company, who do they represent? The schools?
They represent the schools, correct. They represent schools about 150 or so all across the country, including Alabama, Auburn, most of the major programs across the country.
Okay. So that company represents the schools. Nobody represented the students, and yet here is this video game company that made the deal through the school's representative and put these kids not only in the video game, but probably on the cover of the box, just like all the athletes who get on the cover of Madden or other popular video games, and they weren't getting a penny from it.
Exactly. They don't get any money from it, and there's no collective bargaining, for college athletes like there is in professional sports. So the case, it's been going on for a while, for 4 years, and recently there was a settlement between the O'Bannon plaintiffs and EA and CLC, it's Collegiate Licensing, a $40 million settlement. Exactly how the money, who's going to get all the money, it's not entirely clear yet. The details of the settlement aren't clear, but the settlement has happened. And then the next stage now, though, is the NCAA didn't settle, and the NCAA continues to fight this, in part because the players were seeking and continue to seek television revenue, a share of that money as well, and that's a huge pot of money that conferences and schools are able to make.
Yeah. I read in one of your stories that the settlement between EA and these athletes, it's something like 125,000 athletes, and the settlement was about $40 million. I did the math. If everybody's paid evenly, each one of those college athletes would get $320.
Yeah, it's not going to be very much. It's not. And one question out there is, would athletes, if they ever were to be paid, would it be better for them, or would it be legally more appropriate if they were to get it as a group licensing and put it all together and in one pot and just basically divide it equally? Or do you let athletes be able to make money off their own name? And some athletes obviously have more value than others. Johnny Manziel has more value than his offensive lineman at Texas A&M. And that's been an issue in this case as well.
And where do things fall in that?
Well, what the NCAA has argued is that athletes, star players, would be deserving of more money than individual players because they didn't want there to be a commonality issue in terms of a class action that all these players would be entitled to X amount of money. The plaintiffs have argued more for the commonality issue in the group licensing.
So the NCAA essentially wants these to be thought of as individuals, not as a class, because it's easier for them to fight individual lawsuits than it would be for 125,000 people to gather together with their attorneys and take a massive shot at the NCAA.
Right, exactly. And then what's happened here just last week is the judge finally ruled on certification on the class action. And she certified the part, a part of the case. She did not certify another part of the case. She's not allowing these players to seek past damages from the NCAA for use in video games, for use in television broadcasts. She says it's too difficult to figure out who was in these broadcasts, who were in these video games, who was not. There was no good formula brought forth by the plaintiffs, but she is allowing them to seek an injunction against the NCAA moving forward to end, basically end their amateurism rules in which they don't allow players to seek to get money off their name, image, and likeness while they're in school.
John, when somebody goes and plays for Nick Saban's program, or they go and they play for Mike Krzyzewski or somebody else, when they join up as a, quote, student athlete, unquote, for a major college football or basketball program, or even some of the other sports that are there, the Title IX sports, or even some of the sports that don't get all that much attention, do they have to sign something that gives these rights to the school?
They do, and that's been a part of this case, is that there's a publicity form that every school and sometimes the conferences have that school, that athletes each year before the year starts, they sign a bunch of papers, and one of them is giving them the rights to use of their publicity, basically their names, rights, and names, likenesses, and images to use in, like, you know, just media exposure, all different kinds of things. And the feeling from the O'Bannon plaintiffs is that they're signing this away forever, you know, their rights. The NCAA disagrees with that. But that's a key point in this as well. And there's a question of, well, if you don't sign this, are you eligible then to still play college sports? And there's been cases, examples through the years of compliance directors and athletic department officials telling the players, you have to sign these forms in order to play, in order to be eligible. And these are 18 to 22-year-old kids who don't know any better, who don't know their rights, don't have legal counsel, and they just want to play, and they sign it.
Yeah, and in many cases, well, you know what? I would love to see the opposite happen. I would love for them to recruit some high school star quarterback somewhere who they think that they absolutely need to have on their team because he's so great that they can't wait to get him in. And you know, they'll start him at quarterback as a freshman, they tell him, and all that. And he finally agrees to come there, and then he has, maybe attorney parents who say, wait a second, we have to look at every form you sign, and no, we're not giving away your likeness. I would love to see that happen. Has anybody even tried that?
Probably not, because there's still so much value in the public's eye, and with good reason, of the value of a college education and a scholarship and the exposure and the ability to go and play at a big-time sport. But clearly, there is more value for some of these players, not all, but some, beyond their scholarship, because we see it with the black market that occurs with NCAA violations all the time. Kids are getting, athletes are getting paid under the table against NCAA rules. Well, why? Because they have more value beyond their scholarship.
Have we reached a point here, and you're a sports reporter in the heart of a state that loves its college football like few others, Alabama. Are we reaching a point here where the concept of amateur college athletes is going to have to go out the window, and these kids are not going to be treated as, quote, student athletes, unquote, but as paid employees who are making their universities millions of dollars?
Yeah, I think it's changing, no doubt. I don't know if we'll ever go to be paid employees, and particularly the word employee is going to be a red flag for all kinds of universities because there's so many connotations with it. You have to deal with potentially workers' compensation. You have the federal government potentially looking into your tax-exempt status because you say that your mission is educational purposes for college athletics. But I do think we are getting away from this amateurism concept, and I think within 5 years or so, college sports will look dramatically different than what we see right now.
Yeah, we certainly are going to have to see some loosening of the rules of kids being able to work for boosters of the school, et cetera. All of that has always seemed to be so hypocritical to me. We have to keep money out of sports. No, money is what drives you into sports.
Exactly. Now, there's no doubt. The hypocrisy is staggering sometimes, and it makes it interesting to write about, though.
Oh, yeah. Give me 30 seconds on where this goes from here.
Well, now that, you know, yesterday the O'Bannon plaintiffs filed a motion for summary judgment. The NCAA will respond probably here in December. There's a status conference scheduled for February 20th The trial is scheduled for next June, and we'll wait to see if there's a settlement between now and then. There's reasons for both sides, you know, to potentially settle since the class certification decision.
Very interesting. Could be a real course changer for college sports. John Solomon, Enterprise sports reporter at the Birmingham News. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This show's called America Weekend. We're online on Facebook and on Twitter and our own website, AmericaWeekend.com, where you can catch up with podcasts of shows you may have missed in the past.
America Weekend.